Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hello, friends. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, people. It's nice to have you with us today. It's been a weird week. I'm feeling weird. We'll talk about it. Later on in this episode, we're going to be talking about a grab bag of random stuff.
It's a variety show today.
Yeah, it is. If you like random stuff, this is for you. Misfit Stars, people, is a community-centered endeavor, and we would love to invite you to join us, and here's what that means. Misfit Stars is, of course, a podcast. You're listening to it right now. If you are one of the new people this week, first-time listener, welcome. We're very happy you're here. The podcast takes different forms each week. It's me and Shannon talking about what's on our minds. That's it. It's predicated, really, on the idea that maybe some people would be interested in that. Apparently some people are. Believe me, we think it's weird too. But here we are. And also, Misfit Stars is a supportive community for me and Shannon. It's a patron support community. You can become a member of it at misfitstars.com/join. It's a way with small dollar recurring monthly patronage subscriptions to support the work that Shannon and I do in the world. You know, as opposed to having like one donor, like the Medicis supporting us. I mean, that would be neat, but also kind of weird in 2020, we would feel kept. That would feel odd.
Yeah.
Instead, what we've done is we've distributed it, right? So instead of there being like one super wealthy family that supports us as artists, which by the way, was how it was done like forever.
Yeah.
For like millennia.
Totally.
Right? Now it's micro patronage, right? Because everything's on the internet and it's weird modern times. It's like crowdsourcing, really. And so we have a couple hundred people who have all said, yes, I appreciate what Shannon and Jamie are putting into the world. I would like to help support it, but I don't have a ton of money, but I do have $5 a month. So I'm going to pitch in.
And really, they're all like one big family. You're all together. They're like the Medicis.
That's it.
It's the Medici family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like our own personal little crime syndicate, but for art. It's nice.
Were the Medicis a crime family?
I mean, isn't every wealthy family sort of by definition operating in a quasi-criminal capacity?
Every ultra-wealthy family, maybe. At least entirely possible.
At very least, it's amoral, if not immoral. I don't know. I'm already going far afield. Point being, yeah. People, we would love for you to become a part of the Misfit Stars. Become a Medici with us. MisfitStars.com/join. We make light, but honestly, this is the lifeblood of how Shannon and I are continuing to remain housed and fed in this time of global pandemic. All kidding aside, we can't do a lot of the things that we typically do for work, like drive around the country and, perform shows in community with people. Drive around the country doing shows is a health hazard right now. And so we're leaning hard on this patron support community. It's been a huge help, and because of it, we're making it through.
We are.
So, to those of you who are supporters, you're the best. We are incredibly grateful to you. For those of you who aren't, first of all, if you're not in a position financially to be a supporter, then please don't. It's important to us that you take care of yourself.
Yeah.
But if you are doing well and you're not yet a supporter, please consider becoming one. It helps more than you might imagine. It might sound like, $5 a month, whatever. It seems unimportant. I'm not going to do it. They add up. That's the entire point of crowdsourcing.
It does matter.
The power of crowdfunding is in the crowd. You could throw your voice in to that choir, really.
Yeah. And also, when you become a member of Misfit Stars, not only do you get the good feelings of helping support a couple of artists that you love, but you also get to become part of the Misfit Stars community, which is just the best group of people on earth.
Yeah.
And if you're on Facebook, we'll get you an invitation to our private Misfit Stars Facebook group, which is only for our supporting members.
Yep.
And it is just a really great place. These last 8 months, how long has the pandemic been happening?
It's been happening for
months?
5 years, yeah.
Yeah. This has been just such an amazing time to have that community in my life. And I think just seeing how other people have come to that community during this time has been so rewarding also. Like, we need a place where we can safely work through the stuff that we're dealing with in this incredibly stressful time.
With no a-holes,
because my God, the a-holes, they are out there.
Yeah.
And,
interacting on the internet can be fraught. Every other place, but not in the Misfit Stars community.
Yeah. So it's a great community. I want you to meet the folks that are in that group because they're rad and they will love meeting you too. So go to misfitstars.com/join and become one of our stars.
Yeah, we would love that. Yeah. And also, like, if you're not on Facebook and you're like, well, there's no incentive for me because I'm not on Facebook, I can't be part of the Misfit Stars private Facebook group.
So there are other ways.
We do a lot of like non-Facebook stuff for our Misfit Stars people also.
That's true.
We do special concerts now and then.
We have some other things up our sleeve.
We have some other things up our sleeves.
We should not say anything more about that now.
Oh, okay.
It's a secret, people, for now.
But it's going to be super cool.
Yeah.
So if you want some as yet secret and unnamed, but sure to be super cool inducements, they're coming.
They're coming. Yeah.
Trust us.
Definitely.
MisfitStars.com/join. Thank you.
So there's the commercial. Thank you for listening to that. Jamie.
Yeah.
How are you feeling today?
You know what, Shannon? I've been fucking angry all day long. I really have.
I can vouch for this, everybody. Like 20 minutes after we woke up today, Jamie's like, I just need to tell you I'm angry today. And I'm like, do you know about what? And he's like, nope. Just angry.
Yeah. And I also took great pains immediately to be like, not at you.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to tell the listeners too.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Of course.
I already told you. But just to be clear, people, it wasn't Shannon. She's, you know, an angel today. And, you know, I was not mad at Shannon. But I was just mad.
Just mad in
general. You know, sometimes you just wake up, maybe you're not in a good mood, maybe you feel a little blue.
Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed today, Jamie?
Man, I wish, because that would be your side. But no. And, you know.
Where does that saying come from?
Great question.
I need to look it up now.
Yeah.
Maybe a listener has an answer for us.
I had a wrong side of the bed incident when I was in college.
I don't know that I want to hear about this.
Yeah, you sure?
Nope. In fact, I know the story and I don't want to hear it right now. Thank you.
It's not about sexy stuff, people.
It involves vomit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Real short. I went to bed super, super, super drunk and I passed out on literally the wrong side of the bed. So when I rolled over to throw up into the wastebasket that's on my side of the bed, what I actually did, because I was one further over, is I rolled over and threw up onto my girlfriend's head.
That's terrible. Okay. So moving on. Wrong side of the bed.
Yeah, but you know what? I wasn't on the wrong side of the bed. I wasn't blue. I wasn't feeling a little low. I was pissed.
Today. Yeah.
I had an incandescent fury right from getting out of bed. And it felt very crystalline and very focused. And I almost felt cheerful about it. But I was also just like not in the mood to take any shit.
Yeah.
Mad about stuff.
Right.
Just I felt angry. And it actually felt really healthy to be like, you know what? I feel angry. And just to own that.
Totally.
And not to try to like sublimate it off or hide it, you know?
Right.
Just to kind of like feel it and recognize it for what it was and to immediately own it and bring you along on that journey. Like, hey, come along, sweetheart. I'm going to be angry today. Would you like to come? You're like, do I have a choice?
Well, but honestly, it's much better for me to just know what you're dealing with up front, because then I don't have to guess like if I did something wrong or, you know, because you've let me in on it, I'm less likely to catch the like barbed end of that anger.
That's so true. You know what I mean? It's like a little thing we're doing together, me being angry. It's nice, you know, but it's really true. Like every once in a while, I would just say something extra fucking spicy and we'd look at each other and kind of snicker. It was great.
But you know what's funny about this is that, are you still feeling angry right now?
Like I have potential to.
This is an evening time recording, so it's been all day.
No, we had a nice afternoon. It was a hard afternoon. We were outdoors doing physical projects, up on ladders a lot of time, lifting heavy things.
Yeah.
But that was good.
Yeah.
That was helpful.
Well, it's because what I was going to say was that, like, honestly, my experience of you today has not been that you've been angry. Like, my experience of our interactions you've been kind of cheerful.
I said it right away.
Yeah.
And I didn't like just push it down and let it simmer all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took that lid right off.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I think it was good in retrospect. I still feel like I could be mad. I reserve the right to be mad.
Yeah.
But I'm not currently mad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's already like 9:15.
Mm-hmm.
So like I've only got a few hours left to be mad before I go to bed. You know, I could be mad in my sleep, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I texted my sister about this today and she's like, oh my gosh, me too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just something in the air. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? Everything's weird lately. But it's a different and unique flavor of weird. I haven't felt just like this sort of clean, focused, you know, anger. I felt more complicated and nuanced emotions around depression or anxiety.
Sure.
I was neither depressed nor anxious today. I was just pissed.
Yeah.
But I woke up that way. It's very strange. There was no like triggering incident. It was just waking up mad.
I get it.
Like a 1-year-old.
I get it.
Yeah. Like a 1-year-old with better words. In the midst of all of that, I had the most healthy internet interaction today.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So, like, I posted a thing online about, you know, on Facebook about how our president, it was days ago I posted this now, about our president having...
It was yesterday.
Was it?
Yeah.
God, every day is 1,000 years long. Uh-huh. It was about the president having asserted that he was demonstrating leadership by going ahead and getting COVID. Right. This is a thing he said, by the way, people. If you're not news junkies like us, this is actually literally a thing that the president of the United States said. Not like an Onion headline. Not like a misinterpreted something. He said it on TV, and I saw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was remarkable, and you know, so I posted just a very short, you know, on Facebook, you can do so few characters that you can also have a little background.
Yeah.
And I chose the background with the flying poops because it was a shit show.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It seemed very much like it matched. And mostly people were just jumping on the thread. A lot of people have commented because I think people needed to vent.
Sure.
This can happen in 2020.
Yeah.
You know? And they, you know, everyone was kind of piling on. And then this person comes on today. And she's like, and she basically like scolded me for using the poop background because it was not classy and she thought better of me. You know what I mean? And of course, because I was mad.
Well, when I saw that comment, I'm like, oh no, she doesn't know what's coming her way. Oh dear.
But here's the thing, because I wasn't depressed or sad or feeling like any sort of destructive emotions.
Yeah.
I was feeling very clean and very focused in my anger, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just sat down for a moment and explained as kindly but forcefully as I could how that was inappropriate.
Right.
You know what I mean? That she was scolding me and that she was tone policing me, which is a form of gaslighting, and that she was, she had tagged the person who introduced us, and that's snitch tagging. And I educated her on what snitch tagging is. You know what I mean? I'm like, these are, and I was like, I assume, giving you the benefit of the doubt, that you did not intend to use these very bad rhetorical devices, but you did, and I wish you hadn't.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm extremely busy, I'm stressed out, I'm holding space for so many other people's anxiety, and I just don't have the space to deal with this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I thought that your response was very thoughtful.
Thank you. I was trying to be thoughtful.
You asserted your boundaries in a not an unkind way.
That was my goal. You know what I mean? To be firm, but kind.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the internet still, though, will be what it will be. And you can go out there being as kind as you want, but if you're taking someone to task, odds are good they're just going to jump down your throat. And I was up for it, you know what I mean? I don't shy away from a fight. I don't necessarily go seeking them out, but I'm up for it. Yeah. And to my dramatic surprise, this person, like 2 hours later, replied. And her reply was essentially, thank you so much for explaining this to me in such a kind and thoughtful way. I totally get it. I didn't intend to scold you, but I see that I was. Please accept my
apology. I apologize, yeah.
Yeah, please accept my apology. And like, it was just so nice.
Yeah.
It was so great.
Yeah.
And of course, I replied back, oh my gosh, thank you so much for your kind and thoughtful reply. It made my whole day.
And she was like, no, you. And then you were like, no, you. And then it went back for an infinity loop of...
We're still caught in a thank you loop actually right now. We've been 38 times. It's really stressful. No, that's not true. Like, I was like sending you hugs from Tacoma. She's like, right back at you.
Awesome.
And it was like the best possible
How
way that interaction
nice.
Could have gone. And I just wanted to mention it because like that
may... Because there's hope for humanity.
There is. There's a tiny, tiny bit of hope for humanity. And also that may be the only time this sort of interaction happens to me for the next year. You know what I mean? Yeah. Usually people are like, well, I am taking offense.
Yeah.
I am here to take offense and now I'm on it.
Right. You know?
But it wasn't that. It was nice.
That's good.
It was lovely.
That's great.
So yeah, that's how I'm doing. How are you doing? How are you feeling today?
I'm good. Today was a beautiful day outside.
Ugh.
Fall has hit the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And the air is crisp.
Mm-hmm.
Today was sunny. A blue sky.
Not one cloud.
Not a single cloud in the sky, but like it was cool enough outside to wear jeans.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I could do work on the chores we were doing outdoors and I didn't feel uncomfortable. It was just wonderful to be outside. I just absolutely loved every minute of it. You know, the last month or so, and it's hard for me to even gauge the time, but really like, end of August, beginning of September, the first half of September were particularly hard for me. Like, I just was in a really low spot.
Yep.
You know, I've described this a few different times to some friends who've asked, you know, or...
Hell, you've talked about it on here.
Maybe I've talked about it on here, too. It, you know, I just really reached the end of my reserves, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and I was unmotivated. I was just down, you mm-hmm. know. It was a season of depression, really, mm-hmm. I think. And I was able to acknowledge it for what it was at the time. It's not like I, you know, didn't have words to describe it. I could see what was happening to myself, and that was helpful, at mm-hmm. least, because it's not like there was anything that I could do to pull myself out of it. That's sort of the nature of those kinds of mood swings,
yeah,
you know.
They take the time they need to take.
Yeah. And so I just had to ride it out, yeah. essentially. And, you know, I think I was on this podcast a couple weeks ago when I suggested that maybe I was beginning to feel something that perhaps felt like rising from that, you know?
Yeah, just the first stirrings.
Yeah, and I'm happy to report that I think that trend has continued, and I generally feel really good right now. You know, the world is still completely on fire, and, you know, the news does stress me out, and I, you know, like I do feel a lot of concern about things. But that's not to say that, like, my internal life is feeling just more stable, I guess, right now, which I'm really grateful for, because I know that it's not a given,
yeah.
you know. And so, you know, so much so that I'm enjoying the tasks that I need to do. Like, you know, I really am enjoying, like, making dinners for us, and, you know, like, we've been doing chores outside, and I've really been enjoying digging into the chores. And even last night, for the first time in a long time, I sat my butt down in my studio upstairs to work on a personal song
yeah.
that I need to finish for somebody. I'd started it like a month and a half ago, but just got to a place where you can't create from an empty vessel. And
no.
I was empty.
Yeah.
I was completely empty. And I there was no way for me to force being as depleted as I was. I mean, I've written songs and under, you know, times of stress or mm-hmm. you know, whatever before, but like being completely wrung out as I have been,
mm-hmm.
there was just nothing there from which to create. even for a personal song where the source material is coming from somebody else's writing about their loved one, you know, that
yeah.
I'm writing. Like it's not even like I couldn't do it. Just I didn't have it. I didn't have the bandwidth to even consider taking it on. But last night, so like two nights ago, I was thinking to myself, I'm thinking that maybe tomorrow I might feel like it's time to get back in the studio. I'm like, I'm not going to put pressure on myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and see if that's, you know, still on my mind and go throughout my day. And if it gets to be after dinner time when I normally go into the studio, you know, and work into the night, then I'll go and I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And as the day unfolded, I still felt like, yeah, that's what I want to be doing tonight. And I'm really grateful that's what I actually felt like doing last night.
Yeah.
You know, that's, it feels like a lot of progress.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good. And I'm also taking great pains to not put pressure on myself that, okay, well, I'm back and this is the new normal and now I'm going to feel like this every day.
Yeah.
I just don't know. You know, like it is a time where I really need to just continue to take my temperature on this stuff. And
you know, I've personally been in kind of an interesting in-betweeny kind of place. Like when you're working, you're basically writing music. That's your thing.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, like I have various and different things that I do for work.
Yeah.
And some of it is more creative in the same way that your songwriting mm-hmm. is. I mean, for me, it's mixing records for people, but that's my kind of very creative thing that I do,
mm-hmm.
you know. Producing a lot of the time is just more like directing and managing traffic and,
right.
you know, and getting out of the way and just like helping facilitate the thing that needs to happen. It doesn't necessarily
yeah.
need to come from me. I'm just often much more of like just, you know, a manager,
uh-huh.
which is a great way to do it, you know.
Yeah.
'Cause that way it's about the artist's perspective. That's always kind of what I'm trying to bring out anyway, you know. So if I can get myself out of the way of it and, you know, just help direct, then that works out well.
Yeah.
You know? And there's times when I need to sort of be more creative, like There's one record I'm working on where I'm more of a collaborator in a way. You know, like every song that comes my way, I'm for sure playing keyboards on.
Right.
You know, and I'm being relied upon to add more layers of texture. You
right.
know,
mm-hmm.
and that's great. Like that's my role for that record. But it also means that sometimes I just don't feel up to it.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and then there's some stuff that like is just purely super creative. Like I'm mixing a couple of records.
Right.
And I have just not felt in that space very much over the last month.
Mm-hmm.
I just really haven't, you know. And especially like for mixing somebody else's record, like if it's your record, you know, I kind of feel like it's more appropriate to put whatever energy I happen to have in the moment into it because that's genuine. That's a document of where you and I are. Like your records tend these days to be a document of where you and I are.
Yeah.
They're a place where you and I meet.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, if I'm having weird energy, cool, let's put that into the record. But like if I'm mixing a record for somebody else, that's not necessarily appropriate.
Right.
And I have not felt like the energy I've had over the past month and a half has been the kind of energy that's really appropriate necessarily to
right.
put into someone else's work.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like I need to be coming from a more positive place and
right.
I've not necessarily been feeling positive.
Yeah.
I did have two moments, both of them over the last like 10 days because like you, I had kind of a low point about a month ago, you know? To 3 weeks ago, right in that same time period you did. It was offset from yours a little bit, about the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, over the last, you know, 2 weeks since then, like, I've worked 3 half days
mm-hmm.
in that, like, 2 week period on the most creative mixing stuff that I have on my plate.
Right.
You know? And, you know, it hasn't been full steam, and I've crapped out early. But it's coming back.
Yeah.
And I've been feeling like more of an urge to do it. With this kind of work, I find that it kind of works much better for me if I just like wait until like I really feel like I want to do it.
Mm.
Not until like, if I only sort of half feel like I want to do it. Like could do it, but could not do it. I find that I'm like, when I'm really intrinsically motivated is when I do my best work.
Yeah.
For the people involved, you
know?
And I've been feeling that. Like, I really wanted, like, this afternoon after, like, I was like, I'm so stoked to be washing windows and lifting these so fucking heavy, like, 1970s storm windows on and off the front of our house.
I think these were probably original. 1945.
Maybe.
I'm sure
they are. They're so heavy. They probably are.
Yeah.
Actually, like, and the glass in some of them has, like, melted and has internal defects that you can't clean off and stuff. It's kind of beautiful.
So you were happy to be washing windows,
because I was like, tonight I am going to work all night on mixing records. And then you were like, hey, so about the podcast. I'm like, God damn it. Because I was very mad, don't forget.
Right. You know? That's right. You had forgotten that we had to record.
Totally forgotten.
Tonight.
Point being, though, like I'm in that place. I'm getting back to that place now
Good.
Where I genuinely feel excited to work on music.
That's great.
And like, I'm super stoked for you to like go upstairs and disappear and go work on stuff for a while.
Because
just leave me alone and I'll do my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, good. I feel like in a way, like the season within me is changing along with the season outside. You know.
Right.
And it's good. I think that's a good thing. I'm embracing all of that.
Yeah.
And grateful for it.
We got back into doing shows this last weekend.
We did, and that was so fun. We had two wonderful shows. I just loved every minute of both of them. It was so great.
Yeah.
You know, we had put the word out for our October virtual house concerts, and we only had a handful of takers, and I understand that. It's a wild time.
Yeah.
and I'm grateful that we have the ones that we have, and I'm also grateful for a lot of non-show days that we're going to have this month. It means that we can dedicate more time to election work, and that seems really important right now. So, you know, it all shakes out in the end. But the shows we did this first weekend of October were just fantastic.
They were so wonderful, and it was fun to reapproach material too after having like five weeks off, whatever.
See, that was funny. Like, because we had, was it 6 weeks of no shows? Is that right?
Yeah, about.
So, you know, in that time, I didn't play my piano at all.
Yeah.
And, like, my brain is so weird sometimes. I literally, like, a few days before, I was like, do I even remember how to play the piano at all?
Yeah.
You know, I get myself into these spaces. And then we sat down to rehearse and I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. Like riding a bike, no big deal, you know. But
even for like the super, like, because I'm doing two keyboards at once a whole lot of the time, left hand bass, right hand melodic. It's complicated. It's like you have to think like two different, it's like two different people inside of you is really have to think about it, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just all muscle memories. No prob at all.
Yeah.
None.
It was great. Yeah. So fun. It was so fun.
And we actually got a Zoom power up.
Because the sound is better now.
Yes, Zoom. Hey, everybody, Zoom has doubled their audio quality over the last, they did it about a month ago while we were on break. And so all I had to do was go in, click a checkbox. I had to download the new app, click a checkbox to enable the better settings. And oh my gosh, big difference. Like you could really tell.
It's really good.
You can record your own thing in Zoom. You can record a meeting in Zoom. Like, well, if your meeting is you playing music, then you can record your show.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we do that. We recorded it Thursday night before our Friday show just to see how it was sounding with the new settings and make sure everything was cool still, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was palpably better. Yeah. And then it inspired me to make a couple of changes in how we sort of set up some of the sound, which actually I think made the whole show sound better. I wish I discovered it 42 shows ago.
Well, they didn't have the new setting.
It's true.
So we get what we get.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was really grateful to play the songs again after having been away from them for a while. Just... like it was like a different, newer version of me approaching the material.
Yeah.
And so it felt different. And it
yeah.
and I experienced it differently. And it was really rewarding and fun.
Yeah.
It was really
like you get into a rut when you're doing a show every single day. And like in a good way. You get real focused on the material.
Yeah.
You get a thing that works. You refine it, and then at a certain point, you're done refining it, and you just deliver.
Execute.
yeah, that's it. And we're good at that. But, you know, to have that time off to become a slightly different version of ourselves and to get some time away from it. So it's like seeing a friend with new eyes.
Yeah.
You know, it was wonderful.
It was great. Can I talk about the Halloween show?
Oh, yeah. Do it.
Is it cool? Okay. So here's the deal, guys. We do have a handful of virtual house concerts this month, which are private events for our hosts and their friends that they've invited.
If you want an invite, by the way, just go to Shannon's page at shannoncurtis.net/tour. See if one looks good to you. I'm happy to reach out to the host on your behalf. Just message me.
Yeah. Most of our hosts are totally good with inviting outside friends. So,
yeah.
But on Halloween, this month.
October 31st.
We're going to do our final show of the And Her Whisper Becomes a Storm tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on Zoom.
Yep.
And this is going to be a free-for-all. Come one, come all. Whoever would like to come to this show, you can come. And we will be putting out the word formally soon.
Mm-hmm.
You will need to actually RSVP in advance for the show because we will be able to then send you the Zoom link.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be making the link public. So we'll be asking for RSVPs.
Yep.
But we're not going to... Normally with our shows, we have a 30-person limit.
Yep.
We're going to...
No, 25 because of the Zoom thing.
Right. So we're gonna screw the limit. Anyone who wants to come can come. And since it's Halloween and since nobody can gather for Halloween parties this year.
No one's supposed to. You know, a whole bunch of people will be. And like every single big public holiday we have, 3 weeks later, there's a skyrocket of fatalities.
So please don't gather for an in-person Halloween party. Come instead to our final show of the tour, Halloween show.
Dear morons, please come to our show instead of killing yourselves.
You do not have to dress up, but we will be dressing up.
Yeah.
And
it's like a costume party, people. Here's the deal.
You can come dressed up in a costume. Now, your Zoom camera pretty much only gets like your shoulders up. So like your costume, like all you really have to think about is like shoulders up, you know, for your costume. But we think it would be really fun. It'll be really fun to see whoever shows up with various costumes on Zoom and experience the concert together like that. So
at least just do crazy makeup.
Put it on your calendar on Halloween. We're having a Halloween final show of the tour. And we would love to have you there.
I can only imagine it'll be 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Probably it's a Saturday night, so it's weekend and it's prime time. So
maybe even 6:30. We'll figure it out.
But it'll be
something like that.
And keep your eyes open. We'll be putting a formal announcement about this out soon, and we'll let you know how you can RSVP so that you can be on the list to get the Zoom link.
But it'll be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a costume party because we can't have real costume parties this Halloween.
That's right.
Aww. Hey, we want to see all you little ghosts and goblins.
We do.
And by little, I mean just like grown-ups.
But also your kids if you want. That's totally great too.
That's so true actually. Bring your kids. You can have a dress-up Halloween thing with your kids.
Totally.
All on the same Zoom camera and you can see all the other little Brady Bunch boxes of everyone else's ghosts and goblins.
Absolutely.
And enjoy music and then we'll all talk.
Yep.
And it'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be
it's
great.
Gonna be
Let's
great.
Do that.
What do you think we take a short break?
I'm into that.
And then we'll come back and we'll continue with this variety show. We don't have like a main topic today. We just have a bunch of stuff that's on our minds. So we're just going to keep ticking down the list right after the break.
See you in a sec.
See you soon.
So good to be here.
Yeah.
Missed the hell out of you people. what else do we do?
We've been continuing our effort with phone banking. Yep. Yeah, so if you've listened to the last couple of weeks, you know that the thing that makes us feel better than anything else in the whole wide world is to volunteer for the election.
Yep.
We've adopted the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And we've been...
It's a cheese-related thing. I'm from Vermont.
So we have been making calls to Wisconsin voters, and primarily we've been doing most of our work with the voter protection team in Wisconsin for the Wisconsin Dems, and this has been a team that's been recruiting people to be poll workers.
Yeah,
and I've noticed in the like 3 or 4 weeks that we've been working with this crew that I'm getting fewer and fewer answers on the phone the program.
Like getting down to the dregs.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of...
But that's also really good because it means their entire list has been gone through and through and through.
Yeah.
It's this iterative thing, right? Where they call everyone the first time and you get a certain number of answers and a certain number of poll workers and a certain number of wrong numbers and whatever each thing's going to be. But then you have all these don't answers. Like it's probably 80% don't answers.
And they get
90%
back in the shuffle.
And so then you go again and just go, 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 go. And it's like the list decreases by 5% each time.
Right, you know, and you keep
doing it and doing it and doing it.
We're ringing out every possible person we can recruit to be a poll worker.
Yeah, seriously.
And on that note, one of the coordinators of that voter protection team asked us to be on their rapid response team because we're such superstar volunteers.
No big deal, people. It's like Delta Force, but for phone banking. It's like the elite phone banking task force.
Oh my gosh.
It's like SWAT, but for phone banking.
Yes. Basically, what we'll be doing for that is that we'll be, for all the folks that...
It's the same as before, it's just you're going to give us a gun.
No, that's not... No, there is not any guns involved in observing polls. Thank you very much.
Right, right, right. No, not the polls, the phone banking.
Yeah, okay. I'm recruiting poll observers,
but I have a sidearm now.
Okay. Yeah, I think that I would like to not hear the word gun and poll observer in the same sentence.
Fair.
At all.
Fair.
Because
that's more the president's thing.
Yeah. Good Lord. So anyway, basically what we'll be doing is we'll be going and getting numbers of people who expressed interest in that first round of calls saying, yes, I'd like to be a poll worker, and helping them get signed up with training, et cetera, and get plugged in to actually do that job
in Wisconsin. Sealing the deal, basically.
We're sealing the deal.
We're closers now.
That's right. but we did an unusual kind of shift the other day for a different group in Wisconsin, but this is more for a voter registration.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because most of the time with phone banking, our experience has been that they don't want us to leave messages.
That's right.
Okay. Like if you don't get someone live on the phone, just move on to the next call.
They'll get called back.
Be efficient. But this round of calls was actually, they did want us to leave messages. These were numbers that had been called multiple times and there was no pickup. And so this is the last round on these numbers. And they're like, okay, we're just going to leave messages for these people with the information where they can go register to vote. So that if they don't talk to somebody in person, at least they'll have an opportunity to actually listen to a message and maybe get their registration done.
Yeah.
And so we made those calls. Well, I actually talked with a lot of people who actually answered their phone. I was expecting messages.
Same.
But I talked to folks.
It was like the same pickup rate as regular.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it felt great because every call, like at least we were leaving a message on every call, right?
Yeah.
Did you have any interesting calls that day?
You know, I had a shocking number of people pick up and express with some passion how frustrated they were with the current administration and how much they wanted to get registered to vote and how grateful they were that I was on the phone.
That's wonderful.
It was wonderful. I mean, I probably had we each got a list of 50 people to call.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a 2-hour shift. And you know, I probably spoke with like three people in that situation.
Right.
Which is, you know, and I spoke with more people than that, but like three people who were like,
thank you for calling.
Yes. No, and like, yes, I'm so glad you called. I'm not registered. I'm recently moved. I'm not sure how to do it. How do I do it? Please help. And like literally going to myvote.wi.gov on the phone with me.
You know what I mean? Wisconsin voter registration website. Yeah.
Which I can say in my sleep. Yeah. It's myvote.wi.gov,
that's
people.
Right.
If you live in Wisconsin, go get registered for God's sake.
That's right. I had several of those too.
Yes, and it was great. That was yours.
There was one call that really stuck out to me though. And I explained, she answered her phone and I explained who I was and why I was calling about, you know, returning her registration, you know, materials and getting registered. She goes, well, I can't register to vote. And I said, oh, really? Why? Yeah. Or she said, I can't vote or something like that. I said, oh, really? Why? And she goes, well, because I'm a felon. And until I'm done with my probation, they won't let me vote. And just, it came out of my mouth without even like thinking about it. I'm like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know this woman at all, but no. I'm like swearing, you know, and she
heard it from the other room. I'm like, strong words for Shannon Curtis. you people, you've heard, anyone who listens to this podcast with any regularity knows that like, you can hear Shannon blush when I say fuck. Over the podcast, you know what I mean? So to hear her saying it to a stranger on the phone in phone banking, I was like, wow.
Well, it just struck me. Like, she said it so frankly and matter-of-factly. You know, she told me, she didn't owe me an explanation.
Right.
But she was completely frank, you know, and...
It invites further probing.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, and I apologized for swearing. She kind of giggled and, you know, she's like, it's fine. It is stupid. And, you know, and here's the thing. Like, I had a brief conversation with this woman. It wasn't very long, but in my brief time with her, like, she is sharp. She is clearly smart. She's with it. She's wants to be engaged in society. And because she has a felony on her record, her state does not allow her to vote. And I just...
That's just voter disenfranchisement.
I've understood before why I think that this is a terrible thing that happens to people with records, with criminal records. But just speaking to somebody on the phone in that situation who clearly wants to be part of the process, who's clearly like just ready to be engaged in democracy, you know,
and who
just can't, it is just, there is no reason. There's no reason that her voice ought not be heard in this election or any election.
No.
There's no reason that any person who is either on probation or even people who are incarcerated shouldn't have their voices heard in an election.
No. And people, just to be super clear, there's no moral tie. There's no reason that anyone can say why there should be a link between being convicted of a felony and being able to vote.
And losing your right to vote.
There shouldn't be any link between the two. And the only reason there is that it's just another one of these backdoor ways that people in charge have figured out over the centuries to disenfranchise certain types of people from voting, right? Because if you create a set of laws and a set of conditions and a set of economic circumstances where it's mostly people of color who end up in the prison system and mostly end up there for longer with longer sentences and longer parole. And then
because we have a racist, quote-unquote, justice system.
That's right.
Yes.
And then you tie someone's ability to vote on their not being a felon.
Right.
You have effectively just basically said, we're making it so fewer black people can vote. You can't make a law that says fewer black people can vote directly because that's clearly unconstitutional and also horrible. But for some reason, people don't have any problem whatsoever with it just being a two-step dance.
Right. It's, I mean, like voting. Let's take the worst case scenario. Somebody who has been rightfully convicted of like the worst crimes you can imagine.
Yeah.
Why should that person not be able to cast a vote?
Yeah.
Why? Their vote's not going to injure anybody. Their vote's not going to... like, there's nothing criminal about casting a vote.
No.
It is just... You know, and especially like given the certain scenario you were describing, and that there are so many people who are incarcerated in our prison system that ought not be there, or their sentences are way harsher than they ought to be because we have a racist justice system
with disproportionate results.
I should say a racist carceral and prison system. Like, justice is not the right word to use.
True,
right? So, like, it is because of that. It is even more important that folks who have records be able to vote, so that they can be a part of voting in elected officials who can create a more just system.
Yep.
Like this notion that people who have a record should lose their right to vote is just absolutely obscene to me.
Also, just on the merits, right? The theory behind, like, incarceration is that it's rehabilitative in nature, right? And I disagree that that's often the point of it. There are definitely some bright, shining examples of prison actually being used to rehabilitate people.
You know, right.
We have a very dear friend, our misfit star, Julie, who did incredible work with prison performing arts. It changed her life. And now she's passing that on to other convicts.
Yep.
And it's an incredibly positive thing that's happening in the carceral system in the St. Louis mm-hmm. area. And there are other examples like that. It's not by and large how things go.
The system,
allegedly, though, the theory of it is that it's for rehabilitation, right? And what worse possible incentive could you give to somebody than to make them feel like an outsider, like, for our country? Do you
right,
know what I mean? Like,
right.
like their voice doesn't even count. Like they've been written off and no one cares about what they think. And
they are no longer part of our society.
No. When the exact thing you want to be doing is the opposite of that, making them feel more like a part of our society.
Enfranchised.
Yeah. Like they say, the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety. The opposite of addiction is community. It's exactly the same thing for people who commit crimes, I think.
Right.
You know, the opposite of crime is community. Once someone's well-grounded in a community, they're not going to need to or want to act out in that same way.
Or have...
Because they'll have ties.
Right, right. Yes, so that really frustrated me. And it was just an interesting experience. You know, I just wanted to mention that here because I think that's one of those things that I just... You know, it's the way it's always been since I've been conscious of voting rights and how all this works. And so I never questioned it. I just accepted it as, oh, well, that's the way it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. And newsflash, it doesn't have to be that way. And it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
We should be giving people an opportunity to engage in society in healthy and productive ways.
Yeah.
Even if they've got a record.
And it's so strange. Just like how, like, it's just time doing its thing that makes things that are unjust just seem like they're part of the wallpaper,
right.
part of the fabric.
Right.
I think lately, because 9/11 happened, you know, 19 years ago now, strangely, mm-hmm. and DHS, right, the Department of Homeland Security, and then ICE were set up
in
2002.
Right.
Right? Which means that there are adults right now.
Mm.
There are 18-year-olds who have, the entire time they've been alive, DHS and ICE have been things.
Right.
So to them, they've been around forever.
Right.
And that's how things get normalized, right?
Right.
Like, these are not long-standing institutions.
No.
These things haven't even been around for half my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And I'm not particularly old people.
Right.
You know?
And so when we see that these are institutions that are engaging in horrendous violations of human rights,
yeah.
we really need to reconsider whether we want them to be part of our future.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, they're certainly not any significant part of our past.
No.
Yeah, they're not inevitable.
No, they are not. So phone banking, though, it's been really still a great thing. If you want to get involved, there have been so many people in our democracy group who have been posting lately about, like, I did my first shift and it went great, or being turned on to the idea of doing more than just showing up and voting.
Did you know
But actually being involved and helping get other people involved in the process. It's invigorating.
Yeah. Did you know, people, that Shannon and I have a democracy group?
We do.
It's at facebook.com/groups/letssavedemocracy. facebook.com/groups/letssavedemocracy.
Yes.
If you want to do volunteering but just need a kickstart, or if you are already doing volunteering, and by the way, we mean political election-related volunteering,
yes.
for the presidential election, right? Or if you're already doing that work and you would like to encourage other people as they come up to speed with it, share experiences, help each other with accountability, help each other stay motivated,
mm-hmm.
please get yourself in there. We would love to have you.
Yeah.
There's only 4 weeks left until this godforsaken election.
Oh my gosh.
4 weeks from today. It's not a lot of time, but we can do volunteering right up until the end, people.
Mm-hmm.
There's get out the vote work to mm-hmm. be done. And I'll tell you what, Shannon and I have both converted people, I mean, just in the last few days, from non-voters, people who were not even registered, to people who are registered and have a plan to vote.
Yeah.
And you can do that work too. And imagine, we're doing it in Wisconsin. I mean, the election swung on Wisconsin in 2016. Mm-hmm. And we
Michigan
lost,
and Pennsylvania.
Well, but let's just take Wisconsin sure. as an example.
Yeah.
We lost that state by 22,700 votes. Mm-hmm. Which means, like, if you think about this, like, I converted two people from not even registered to registered and has a plan to vote. And I think you did too, right? So that's mm-hmm. each of us with two people. Now imagine that there are 10,000 other people doing this work.
Well, there we
our,
go.
There's our 22,000 votes, more or less, right? Yeah. Like, that's how that works, people. And you yeah. know there's, like, a lot of people volunteering, but we need more.
That's true.
Like, even if you, like, only ever do one shift and you only ever get one person, holy hell, you just helped a person vote.
Yeah.
That's an unimaginably huge thing.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel really, really good. Mm-hmm. And if you feel, you know, first of all, if you feel like you're not confident about talking on the phone, you're probably wrong. People like you are probably the most charming on the phone because you're not cocky like someone like me, right? Like, oh, Mr. Confident on the phone guy, great. Really want to talk to him, right? Seriously, like sometimes people who
just
are a little bit more
authentic,
tentative, yeah. a little more authentic on the yeah. phone, that works great. It can work wonderfully.
Totally. And you know, I think that there's, it's important to note also, like when you're doing the vote, the like the voter registration work that we're doing, mm-hmm. you know, and the voter mobilization, like getting people to make a plan to vote and all that kind of stuff. It's important for this election for sure, but I think that there's a knock-on effect also that once people become a voter, mm-hmm. they're more likely to vote in the future also. And like we're in this situation in this country right now where we are in the middle of a pandemic that has been allowed to go completely out of control because of a lack of leadership.
Yeah.
Both from, you know, I mean like just today like what the president said he was going to stop negotiations with Democrats about another stimulus package. So
what the hell?
There you go, people. You're just on your own. We're not gonna. The government's not showing up to help you because the Republicans have backed away from the Democrats have passed. They passed a second stimulus bill back in May.
Yep.
They passed another one just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like they're ready to show up and help the American people through this time.
They have given all kinds of options. They've literally not just like thrown out options. They have written up in technical language and then passed. Multiple bills,
right?
Multiple different options as bills in bill form. All the other people got to do is frickin' sign it.
But we're here. We're in this situation where our government is not functioning.
Yeah.
This didn't happen just because Trump's been president for 3 years. This is the non-functional nature of our government is the result of many, many years of people being elected who don't really care that yeah. government actually works for people.
No.
And here's
indeed,
the thing.
Some people go to Washington specifically to prove that Washington doesn't work.
To break it. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. When more people vote, we actually do elect representatives who care about making government work
yep.
for the people. And so when you convert a person to vote for this election, not only are they going to vote in this election, which is very, very important to actually like saving democracy itself, mm-hmm. But also they're more likely to be voters in subsequent elections, which means that maybe one day with more people participating in the process and being kickstarted into that involvement this year, we might actually be able to over time elect enough people in government to actually have a functioning government.
Yeah.
Like say New Zealand for example, New Zealand currently has fewer coronavirus cases than the White House.
So speaking of failures of leadership, holy shit.
So how many minutes into this podcast are we? We're like
48.
And we're now only for the first time mentioning, did you hear the president got coronavirus?
Yeah. That's admirable restraint, people. Don't you think? Don't you think? But holy shit.
Oh my gosh.
Can you, it's funny. This is out of all of the things, out of the buffet of injustices and affronts to the conscience that this administration has visited upon us as a country over the last 3.5 years, I have to say that this one really just made me almost maybe the angriest of all of them, mm. just because it shows such an abject negligence. Like, they don't even give enough of a shit to protect the president of the United States from getting the pandemic virus.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing when they don't care enough to protect us. Okay, that kind of adds up because they're sociopaths, generally mm-hmm. speaking. So sure, that intuitively makes sense. Sure, they don't care too much as long as they're taken care of. But now, come to find out, they're not even taking care of themselves. They just don't give a single shit. And it's just honestly shocking. In yeah. a time when I didn't even realize I had any more more capacity to be shocked. I am shocked by this.
It's amazing. If
nothing else, you would think that they would be motivated out of sheer naked self-interest.
Right.
Right? Isn't that like the last nerve to go before you're just dead inside?
Yeah.
The self-interest nerve, the self-preservation muscle?
Yeah.
And like that one isn't even functioning.
I know.
For any of them.
I know.
It's insane. And it's not just like one person got it and whoa, that was a close one. Everyone's getting it.
And
it's an infestation.
They're not
it's like
even,
they have a mouse problem in the White House, but it's not mice. It's people with coronavirus.
Yeah. The thing that really pisses me off, I mean, there's a lot of things that piss me off.
Is this the one thing?
A lot of things. But here's the thing. Like, okay, sure. You're not going to take precautions to protect yourself and you're the president. Okay, and you're in this administration and you're being careless and you got sick. Okay, what about all of the full-time White House staff?
Sure.
Who are not there for political reasons. They're there to serve the government. They're there to serve the person that we've put in the White House, the people's house. They're just employees, you know, but they are cleaners and they're...
A presidential valet was diagnosed yesterday positive.
Oh my gosh, really? These are people who don't deserve to be exposed in that kind of way.
Yeah.
And yet they're going to get sick and some of them may die and they may pass it on to their family members, some of whom also may get sick and some of whom may also die. Like that just infuriates me.
Sure.
Like they're treating these people like they are disposable.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the stunt that the president pulled the other day where he left Walter Reed Hospital to go for a joyride in his Secret Service SUV.
Yeah.
Just so that he could prove to the people outside that he was strong enough to ride in a car for 5 minutes. Like, but in that time, he put those Secret Service people who were driving him in that car at risk for getting the virus. It's a hermetically sealed vehicle so that it can't be attacked with chemical weapons.
That's right. It's a closed air system.
It's a closed air. So which means that like all of the president's germs...
going right into the Secret Service guys' mouths and noses.
I mean...
like they're for sure
masks,
all of them going to get it.
Masks do some help, but they're not completely...
No.
Foolproof, you know.
An N95 is called an N95 because it, on average, gets about 95% of the particulate matter of a certain size. It catches it, right?
Right.
Which means that 5% gets through.
Right.
Well, 5 minute long car ride, you figure 2 minutes of prep on either end of that. So it's about a 10 minute experience total, maybe 9 minutes.
In a small space.
In a small space. I mean, 5% of all the air going around, and that's probably enough to get you.
I mean, it's just, it's infuriating to me, the lack of consideration for people in general.
And their families.
Yeah, I mean, just, that really angers me. And the stuff that we've been seeing, that car ride included, but all the videos and the photo, staged photo op things that he's been doing to try to present himself as being strong and like beating the virus. Mm. It's just disturbing, like authoritarian propaganda. Just
seriously.
Like, it's like this might as well be coming out of North Korea. Like it is weird.
Like it's not even
weird.
That good either. You know
no,
what I
it's
mean?
Not.
It's like it's not even like Turkey. It's like if someone made a B movie about Turkey.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The country, not the animal. That was confusing, especially so close to Thanksgiving. But yeah, it's like if someone were made a B grade movie
it's
about
like
a wannabe authoritarian
Borat.
Leader.
Borat. It's like,
yeah. like if Borat were like a shitty president.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, it's not even well done.
And yet, there are a lot of Americans who are still buying this bologna, like eating it up, like it's their favorite thing. We know people who are still like supporting this president.
Yeah.
Even like, I just don't understand. Like it is so nakedly propaganda. It is so nakedly just bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people's bullshit meters aren't just like pegging and like being like, oh, I've been wrong all along. This guy's a total phony. But no, they're still like worshiping him. Like he's this strong leader guy. And I'm like, What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
Also, like, in his own propaganda videos, he very visibly is having difficulty breathing.
Right.
Like, he's using, like, secondary muscles to breathe. It's not like normally when you breathe, you just stand there. But, like, he's doing the whole lift with your shoulders to expand the chest cavity. Shoulders back down to exhale.
Right.
Like, he can't even do it on his own.
Right.
Obviously, on camera in his own propaganda video. That's a B-movie aspect of it. It's like, it's not even well acted.
No.
You know?
No. Ugh. You know, it's hard to...
It's an affront to this. It's an affront, like, conceptually and morally. It's also an affront aesthetically.
Yeah.
Like, even as performance art, it's not even good art. As an artist, I'm offended by this.
Yeah. It's weird because, you know, we're in the middle of this, right? Like, we don't actually know how long he's had the virus because they're not being upfront with that information. Like, it's so weird to have a situation where we don't even know... We know we're not getting accurate information from the White House because they
are from Walter Reed.
They are liars.
Yeah.
They just have lied to us so much that they're not trustworthy. And so we don't know how long he's been sick. We can guess. People are guessing, you know, based on symptoms, based on how he's appeared and blah, blah, blah. But no matter how you slice it, he's not out of the, like, what's sort of a standard sort of 2-week window where people who are symptomatic usually have the most of their symptoms in like a 2-week period of time.
Right.
It can last longer than that.
Yeah.
Like, but like in terms of being like infectious, contagious and symptomatic, you know, there's this, you know, 14-day period or whatever that they talk about. And, you know, people who have really bad, a bad experience with the virus. I mean, obviously it can last a whole lot longer than that. You know, people who've been hospitalized for a whole lot longer than that, who need that kind of care. So who knows how this is going to unfold. He's still very much in that window of that 14 days at some point. So, I mean, the virus is going to do what it's going to do. Granted, he's the president and he gets access to perhaps the best medical care that there is available to any human on planet Earth.
Yep.
For which he paid $750 in taxes. Let that sink in.
That's a hell of a bargain. How do I get that bargain?
I know, right. You know, so I who knows what's going to happen? I feel like we're in the middle. We're in the middle of a story that's not finished, which is also in the middle of a bigger story that feels like it's just been, there's layers upon layers of unfinished uncertainty that we are living through right now. And this is just one more of those things.
Yeah.
And who knows how it's going to pan out.
Got to admit, it was a really good plot twist though. Like, I did not see any of this coming.
I also was not sad.
No.
And can we talk about that?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, you know.
Sure.
So I know that you have been struggling with the idea of like I was just like, I'm glad and I hope he dies. And I was just pretty forthright about that. And then, of course, I was like, should I feel bad about that? And you and I talked about it, and you're like, I kind of feel the same way, but I do feel bad that I feel like that because that's not the kind of person I want to be.
Yeah.
And that's respectable. I get that. I read, you know, Dzogchen Buddhism. There's an idea of circles of compassion. This is not that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is more like circles of I wish this guy would die. It's one circle.
You know.
But, you know, here's the thing, though. Okay. Someone said this. This is not an original thought to me, but man, did it resonate. And to paraphrase, it's the idea that asking someone to show compassion or grace towards someone who has shown them none is a form of gaslighting.
Like for someone who's been oppressed to be required to show grace to their oppressor, is pretty messed up.
That is gaslighting people.
Yeah.
And so if you've been sitting out there and you've been like, yeah, honestly, I hope this guy dies of this, you know, and you've been feeling guilty about that, I just want to really like give you permission, in as much as you look to me for permission on anything, to like, I hope you don't, frankly. That would be weird.
Yeah.
But like, I want you to give yourself permission really to like let go of that and embrace it if you need to, you know, because, you know, if you think that this person has caused you trauma and grief in the same way that he's caused me trauma and grief, you know, and also has caused so many more vulnerable people than me trauma and
grief. And a whole lot more trauma and grief than you've experienced.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Mine has been mostly conceptual. Like he has caused very tangible trauma and grief.
Over 7 million people have been infected with this virus, and he's done nothing about it.
Not to mention the way that black and brown people are getting treated by his government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, all of those reasons. Like, those are all very valid reasons to wish this person no longer be on the planet. You know what I mean?
Right. I think the way that I sort of slice it up for myself is that, like, I, you know, shorthand around the house might say, I hope he dies, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that the way that I really, like, think about it actually is that, A, what I hope for doesn't actually matter, because what's going to happen is going to happen. It is what it is.
Touche, Shannon.
As the president himself once said about this virus.
Yeah.
You know, it will be what it will be, and I don't have any... My hopes or non-hopes or whatever, it doesn't matter.
True.
It doesn't matter at all. So there's that. I guess what's left then is, like, how do I feel about what's happening or what the outcome might be?
Yeah.
And I don't feel badly that he's experiencing discomfort and pain from a virus that he has tried to dismiss and has left millions of Americans alone to deal with without support from the federal government, which is something he could have done. He could have been a leader. He could have rallied our government to be supportive through people to just like the bare minimum, encouraging folks to wear masks. It would decrease the level of infection like so much and therefore would decrease the level of suffering, and therefore would decrease the level of infection, which therefore would decrease the levels at which we need to have the economy hampered right now, like his blessed economy. Like, anyway, I'm getting down a rabbit trail, but, you know, I don't feel badly that he's experiencing you know, the bad effects of this virus.
Totally.
If he were to die from this virus, I also would not feel badly. I would feel relief.
Oh my gosh.
I would feel relief that a person, and he's not the only person responsible for leaving Americans alone to deal with this crisis. He's not the only person responsible for the absolute trauma that they've inflicted on people at the border.
Yep.
He's not the only person responsible for the whole litany of things that this administration and this government has caused pain in people's lives. Like, he's not the only one. But I would feel relief that this person no longer had influence to carry out the things that have harmed people.
Totally.
In very real ways.
Absolutely.
Since he's been in leadership.
You know, there are very few people really in the world who, like, the world would be objectively better without. He's one.
Yeah.
And so, just as a practical concern, I hope that as soon as possible, the world is rid of him.
Yeah.
And this seems like a great opportunity. This seems like the most tangible opportunity that we have in front of us. And I hope it works out that way.
Yeah.
I really do. And I make no apology for it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not personal. It's just pragmatic.
Yeah. I just am ready. I'm ready to not have him influencing our lives in any way.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a person, I don't, you know, I'm not a person who wants to make a practice of, like, wishing bad things upon other people.
No.
That's not who I am.
That's an extraordinary circumstance.
It is an extraordinary circumstance. And I'm trying to figure out that balance between maintaining a soft heart and also acknowledging that we need relief.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We just do.
It's possible to joyfully wish for someone's demise.
Is it?
Maybe you could do it in a more joyful way.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a very open-handed kind of way. Maybe lotus position.
Oh my gosh. Know?
Yeah. Just make it a little bit nicer. Put on some cheerful music.
It's also not like a polite thing to say that you aren't sad about somebody else's suffering, you know, like that's really, I think that's probably what's motivating a lot of people, you know, who hate what he's done to our country and hate what he's done to people to, you know, offer up their public, like, we send our prayers to Donald and Melania for a quick recovery, you know, like, I think it's like the polite thing to do or whatever. I'm not.
We're so far beyond polite in this circumstance that we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a time to worry about the nuances of high society,
yeah,
or
I know.
Or our better manners. You know what I mean? Like we're in a crisis. We're in a national
we're
crisis.
We're in several crises.
This is not the time to be figuring out whether the little fork goes on the outside.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so have you, do you have anything else about the president you want to say, or are you done?
Fuck that guy. That's it. That's it.
We're going to have to make this episode explicit.
Right? With prejudice. Yeah. So, but hey, people, here's a thing, by the way. This is Shannon Curtis's birthday week.
It's my birthday week.
It's your birthday.
My birthday's coming on Saturday.
How old are you going to be, Shannon?
You only get weekend birthdays like every 6 years or so. And I'm having a weekend birthday in a frickin' pandemic.
Yeah. You know, that's rude. On the plus side, we're self-employed. So every day theoretically is a weekend.
I guess so, but...
Yeah. My birthday's on a Monday, so I don't feel out of sympathy for you.
Can't have like a party or anything like that. So, wah, wah.
No.
But no, I'm going to be 46.
Wow. Still in your mid... 40s.
I'm in my mid 40s.
This is the last year, though.
Yeah.
47 is late 40s.
I really do love being in my 40s.
Yeah, it's great.
I have loved it since I turned 40. Still loving it. Still love getting older. Like, there's just not really a whole lot about it that I feel like there's a downside. It's a privilege to get older.
Yeah.
You know?
Seriously, we're very lucky.
Who did I hear say this recently? We were talking about gray hair, and it was a friend who was allowing her dyed hair to grow out, as I have been doing for the last year or so.
Yes, who was that?
I can't remember, and I feel badly that I can't remember who it was, but they really framed it beautifully. Like, it's a privilege to get gray hair.
Yeah.
It's because not everybody gets the opportunity to live a long enough life to see that happen, you know?
But the good news is, with the increased ambient levels of stress, everyone's hair is going to get grayer sooner. So really, this opportunity is being opened up to a lot more people, and I feel great about that.
Yeah, but you know what? It really
just
is. Like,
kidding.
I'm embracing all of the you know, what another year on the planet means, you know, and you know, I'm grateful for not needing to feel like I any sort of sense of loss that I don't look the way I did when I was 25.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just am happy with who I am and where I'm at, and that feels good. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess that's the most a person can hope for a birthday. I'm not like a huge, you know, I was lamenting not getting to have a party. I mean, who has parties? Anyway, I'm not even that kind of a birthday celebrator, honestly. Like, I you know, for me, it's maybe a little bit more solemn, just like, oh, another year.
Yeah,
okay.
I always feel a little bit solemn on my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel, I relate to that a lot.
But just mostly feeling lucky that I am here and that I get another year, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've really been just in my mind, just even over this last, like, half year, it hasn't even been like correlated to a birthday with me specifically, but like, I've just been really feeling older. But like, I don't mean that in a negative way or any kind of a bad way. I kind of mean in a really, really good way.
Yeah.
Like, just really like realizing that, like, I'm 47, I'm nearly 48. I'll turn 48 later this month. And just realizing that, like, I'm not like a kid anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's a really positive development for me personally, because I've felt like a kid for most of my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just stuck. Not stuck, you know, I've been doing things and I've been productive and whatever, but like, you know, I had injury in my life when I was, you know, in my mid-teens, my teens. And like, there's a certain part of you, I think, that when you're dramatically injured breaks off at that point and always stays that age.
Yeah.
And I've really been feeling, just for some weird reason, like, some of that energy's gotten unstuck for me a little bit over the last just like 5 or 6 months. I'm
really
not sure what it is.
Oh, interesting.
But I'm feeling more comfortable in the role of adult.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
not
cool.
Always. I'm still immature as hell and probably will be till the day I die. But also, like, I understand that I have an adult perspective that I can offer younger people as an adult speaking to a younger person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been doing a ton of mentorship, you know, lately. Mm-hmm. I just added a new mentee 2 days ago.
Great.
A young Cuban-American woman from the Miami area.
Fun.
Yeah, she's 20 or 21, and she's writing like Latin-inflected pop music. Mm-hmm. She's just starting, but she's got a lot of, like, she has a spark.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that we can fan a bit. You know, and the more mentorship of younger people I do, the more I realize that, like, I feel like I have grown a bit because I feel like I've found my purpose a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I saw this wonderful quote. It has been misattributed to Pablo Picasso. Indeed, I think I saw somebody post it in a meme on Facebook with like a picture of, you know, text on a picture of Pablo Picasso and then like this quote and then dash Pablo Picasso. I looked it up. He's not the one who said it. It's just that wonderful internet thing where you something inspirational and then put like Abraham Lincoln, like, wow, Lincoln said that? No, he did not. But this quote, which is not from Pablo Picasso, to be perfectly clear, is the purpose of life is to discover your gift. The meaning of life is to give it away.
Aw.
Isn't that a lovely sentiment?
Yeah.
I saw that and it really resonated with me because we're like, this giving away of stuff that I know to younger people has felt very meaningful to me. You know, like I have gotten a lot of meaning from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just felt very rich. And it's really exciting too because like I've got a couple of these kids who like, they get it.
Yeah.
They really get it. And like they're running with the stuff that I am teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so exciting to see. I've got this one kid in Iowa who I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's young. He's like 19 or something like that. And like he's like, he is self-producing at a level that I only got to like, I don't know, probably 8 years ago.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like in terms of like being able to put stuff together in a nuanced way.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job at it. And like he wasn't when I first started working with him, but I just showed him some to me very simple things. But to him, each one of them was like mind blowing. And to his credit, he immediately ran with them. And every single new song he sends me, he very clearly has made a list of all the things I've taught him and gone down and checked and make sure he's done
That's
all of them.
That's cool.
And so they like, he sent me a new version of a song a couple days ago that sounded like the 10th version of the first song he sent me.
That's cool.
You know, in a very short amount of time, it's so rewarding.
And one of the things about getting older is that like when we're younger, we haven't yet learned all those things that we could eventually give away. You know, it requires a process of aging and of being involved in whatever work you're doing, you know, and learning for yourself over a period of years. Like you wouldn't have been able to be a mentor to these kids 10 years ago.
Well, especially because he was only 9.
But do you know what I mean?
No,
like it is a season. It's a changing of a season.
Yeah.
In your life, you know, but one that only can come after you've done the work and spent the time learning yourself.
Yeah.
You know? And that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Getting older. It's not all bad.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. So, what do you think? We good?
I think I'm all talked out for the week.
What do you think, people? Did you enjoy your variety show Misfit Stars episode?
Oh, goodness.
Hey, sometimes you just got to talk about a bunch of random stuff that's on your mind. That's the deal.
That's right.
It's our podcast. We do what
we're
we want.
We're so grateful that you spent your time with us today. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
If you're still listening... Wow. Super extra special. Mm-hmm. If you're still listening and you are one of our Misfit Stars, thank you so much for supporting the work that Jamie and I do. It is a tangible, practical thing in our lives, this support that you give us.
That's the least good word.
Thing is the least good word.
Yeah.
It is a...
It's a boon. It's a benefit.
Thank
it's
you.
A gift.
All right, good. Yeah. Those are all better words.
Yeah.
You've got the best words.
So many words.
But no, seriously, the support that you give us really matters. It is really a thing that is keeping us going.
Yeah.
You are really helping us to reimagine what our work can be because of this weird time and also helping us to reimagine what it might be, you know, going forward in our lives in general, too.
All that stuff that I just talked to you about, people, with the mentorship and all these younger people whom I am just imparting knowledge into and working iteratively over a series of songs with, I'm doing all of that for free.
Right.
I don't know if I mentioned that. I'm not taking money from any of these kids and no adult is paying for it on their behalf.
This is
a thing that I can do for them because you are supporting us via the Misfit Stars Patreon community.
Right.
If that's the kind of work that you want to see in the world, well, contribute. Go to misfitstars.com/join if you want to become a new member. Go to misfitstars.com/level up if you want to increase the amount that you're supporting this work. Because seriously, like every little bit of extra support that we get, I just turn around and add a new mentee. That's basically how the math works on
that. Yeah.
Seriously. Like it's paying for my time to be able to then give my time for free to kids. It's wonderful. It's a really good thing, I think.
So thank you, those of you who are already supporters. Join us, those of you who are not yet. And to all of our listeners, thanks for spending your time with us today. We really appreciate it. We'll be back again next week with Lord knows what else to talk about.
I don't even want to guess. Holy hell. Man, I hope it's much less than this. Oh. I hope that nothing happened. I hope everything's chill.
I
probably won't be.
Probably.
But you can hope.
Hold your breath, yeah. But we will be back, and we'll talk to you then. Until then, please take really good care of yourselves.
Yeah,
we will. Wear a mask.
Seriously.
Take care of others.
Yeah, give strangers masks. We love you guys.
We love you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.